Welcome to the CTR Help Guide Podcast, and you are on with your host, Crystal Santoria. Let's get started. Welcome back, you guys. Today, we're going to be talking about quality in reporting as it pertains to the exam. We're going to talk about data linkage, data edits, and quality control. So let's get into it. So with data edits, you have your edit mechanics, which is your meta file, then you have your edit set, and then you have your edit. But for a lot of us, what is the meta file, edit set, and edit to us in layman's terms? So your meta file is like V21B. Well, this is 2022, so we will be looking for our V22 sometime the end of this month or maybe next month. Don't really know yet. And then we have our edit set, which is single field, inner field, or inner record edit sets. These are all the implementations of your new updates. Those will be in your edit sets. And then your edit, usually you'll see like this most common edit is conflict between treatment summary and treatment codes, which means you either documented that the patient had treatment, but you didn't change the summary to A1, which says that they had treatment, or you're documenting that the patient had treatment when they was a biopsy only. And we all know biopsy only is just diagnostic confirmation and it's not a treatment. So you would leave the treatment summary as a 0, not a 1. Now we're going to just go into our three types of edits. First, you have your single field edits. And single field just validates and verifies that what you put in there is actually correct. The single field edits just looks at the single fields and might say maybe you didn't have your phone number in there. Maybe you didn't tap through so it could generate, you know, your address and the zip code. Those are some different things for a single field edit. And then you have your interfield edits. And these are like, they identify errors of correctness. So this is kind of making sure that Jim doesn't have cervical cancer and Jane does not have prostate or testicular cancer. So it's going to raise the eyebrow and be like, sir, ma'am, you do know that that's a woman name, right? You know, computers, you know, technology, you know, they're really smart, but you have to realize that you might have a man whose name is Tracy, but to a computer, Tracy is a woman's name. You might have to do a manual override for that. But it's all right. We can do that. And then you have your inter-record edit, which usually just compares the data on more than one identical record. So you might have a duplicate case, or it finds common errors to sequence errors here, where they might have two primaries and you're sending it to state at the same time. So it's not really picking up both cases. So you have to send them one at a time. So that's usually inter-record type of edit. Now moving along to our data linkage. We have two types of patient matching when it comes to data linkage. We have deterministic, which is the record in the two files has to have an exact match for it to ever be considered the same patient. So everything has to be the same. And then you have your probabilistic one, which is the one that you usually see more often. And they have a match score that compares key fields, like maybe the patient got married, changed their name. So they look at the date of birth, they look at the gender, the ethnicity, the site of the cancer and histology, and want to make sure that more time positive match than negative. If they have a higher match that this is the same person, they just got married and changed their name, then you would combine those cases and this is the same person. Going into our record consolidation rules, to consolidate a record, you have to have records where you have most frequent, hierarchy, highest value, time submitted, and known over unknown. So you would pick C504 over C809. You would pick if the time submitted, if it was 3/2021, and then the next case of the same patient is in September 2021, you would choose the time submitted earlier than March other than the September. The highest value which one has the highest histology code, the highest value. The hierarchy is kind of the same as time submitted. Which one came first, not which one came last. And the most frequent, you may have 3 or 4 patients with the same everything. And you might have that one patient where the year is off, the date of diagnosis is off. You would choose the one that the date of diagnosis is populating most frequently. So let's get into our quality control, because that is usually most the hardest part on the exam. Or I wouldn't say hardest, but most challenging part on the exam is quality control. And as we know, with quality control, 90% of all cases must be abstracted within the first 4 to 6 months from the date of first contact. But let's keep it real. When we have concurrent cases, you might not often see 90% getting abstracted within the first 4 to 6 months, especially with breasts that can take up to a year. COVID is another great explanation as to why you wouldn't see 90% of the cases being abstracted within 4 to 6 months of their date of first contact. Different external, situations that could happen or why we wouldn't kind of be on this same pattern. We're going into our quality control plan. You have your review criteria, and then you want to make a quality control timetable, and then you want to have your method source and individuals involved, your activities evaluated, what's the scope of your evaluation, what's your minimum quality benchmark, and then you want to make sure that you document the quality control plan. Plan everything up. So my criteria that I want to review, I am going to review breast and colon, and I'm going to do this monthly. And we have 16 people on our team, so I want to do 6 cases per month. And then I'm going to just review their treatment fields, making sure that they have the correct treatment and the correct date. And then I'm going to look for the accuracy and the completeness of the case. And they cannot score below a 90 percentile. And then I'm going to review all these documents. I'm going to document it in my team's individual charts. So I would have a folder on my computer, which each team member in their quality control review. Moving along, we're going to talk into our 5 characteristics of data quality. So we have our accuracy, case incidence completeness, data completeness, timeliness, and consistency. So going with accuracy, getting accurate, we have our computerized edit checks, our visual editing, our recoding audits, and our re-abstracting studies. And then for computerized edit checks, you have your range and allowable code checks, inter-item edit checks, inter-record edit checks, and inter-database edit checks. You're really going to see this a lot kind of repopulate itself, as you may have heard earlier in the podcast. So with visual editing manually compares the text with coded data items to identify coding errors or other inconsistencies. Make sure that you go over your abstracts and check to see that all your codes match the text fields and the dates before you check that gen edit area. This is your visual editing. You're editing with your eyes. After you're done with the case, you're going back and making sure that you enter everything correctly, everything matches. And then you run your gen edit. Then for our recoding audits, it provides the verification that coding guidelines and rules are correctly applied by the data collectors. So recoding audits are basically trying to see if you have a case that's multiple primaries. They want to make sure that you actually look up the rules and you utilize it in the correct way, that you did make this 2 primaries and not 1 as multifocal disease. And that's the recoding audit. And then you have your reabstracting studies. This is pretty much a lot what you're going to be doing in quality. When you go through your quality review, people do it differently. But reabstracting studies just assess the quality of data by having your quality staff member, which is your quality control specialist, education specialist, however your facility says it. And they reabstract just a sample of your cases from the medical record document just to see if they came to the same conclusion as you did. Remember the QC plan? This is where you take those 6 cases from each abstractor, and then you're just going to re-abstract the case to make sure it matches. And then the re-abstraction is performed to establish the rates of agreement between the registry data and the information in the document text. So this is why you have to make sure that you are documenting in your text fields precisely and correct. So when they do the re-abstracting audits, that you have it documented that you did look everywhere for this information. It identifies the problems in the interpretation and coding of specific data, develops standard guidelines and rules for abstracting ambiguous situations. So then we're going to go into our case incidence completeness. So you have the characteristics of case incidence completeness. You have case finding audits, independent case ascertainment, death certificate only, and historical data review. And then with our case finding audits within it, you have disease indices. This is usually something that you would get when you have your state follow back list, which is the death follow back list from your state. And you have your path reports, autopsies, radiation, oncology logs, just to make sure that you didn't miss a patient in your health system. Moving along to our data completeness. So we have 2 items in data completeness. They deal with text documentation and then unknown values. With text documentation, they want to make sure that you are able to tell a story in a readable language that supports the coding. Make sure that you are going to NACER, and that you are going to Appendix C, and that you make sure that you actually have the approved abbreviations to document, because if you send this to state and they send this to national and you got weird abbreviations and they don't really know what exactly do you mean, it's going to skew, you know, the data. Just so make sure that you have what you need in your chart. And then you have unknown values. And they kind of want to monitor unknown values, because too many unknown values may mean that you missed something in the chart. You may have didn't realize that there was a lab there. You may have missed that they had chemo or radiation. And that's not really good on a facility if you're missing key points in your record. So moving down to timeliness and consistency. So timeliness, where various stages of the registration process occurs on schedule and you publish your annual reports. So publishing your annual reports is usually something that when they go to cancer committee, they usually talk about their annual reports and trends in the facility with their cancer committee, you know, members. And consistency is usually difficult to monitor consistency in abstracting, you know, because we're all individuals, you know, we're subject to human bias and human error. We might have to go to the bathroom. There's always something. So we're not always consistent with the manuals. You know, there's sometimes where you're leaning towards more AJCC or solid tumor rule than you lean to the GRADE manual or any type of online manual. So sometimes you might lean to the manuals that you can tangibly feel. So, I mean, I did a little questions for our actual class, but here I have a posted question. Jackson A., he's the QC specialist, did a QC plan on his team to see if they were matching topography and his histology correctly. He found that 12 of 16 of his team members had deficiency in central nervous system coding. What is the next step that Jackson would do? Would he go over the anatomy of the brain, teach the codes, the site codes of the brain, delete case and re-abstract it himself, or delete the case and ask the team members to abstract that case all over again? So I know a lot of people, so if you answer A, you're correct. You kind of go over the anatomy of the brain. Yes, you would teach the site codes. Yes, you would teach the site codes as well. But in quality control, it isn't the first thing that you would do, because they have to make sure that your team understands the anatomy before ever teaching any type of site codes because they don't understand where the site is actually located, then teaching them site codes, they're going to keep making the same mistake. So question two, Jackson did another QC plan to see if his team was matching topography and histology correctly. He found that the same 12 or 16 of his team members had a deficiency in that in CNS coding. So which type of audit would he do? Recoding audit, visual editing, case finding audit, re-abstracting studies. If you answered D, re-abstracting studies, then you are pretty much correct. The quality control specialist will have to re-abstract the case to see if his answers match your answers, then fix the problem. Question number three. So Jackson has another quality control where he was trying to match topography and histology, and he found that the same people had a deficiency in their topography and their gender coding. Which edit did he utilize for this conclusion? A single field edit, inter-record edit, interfield edit, or interdatabase edit? If you answer C, interfield edit, then you are correct. This edit checks to make sure Jane doesn't have penile cancer and Jim doesn't have cervical cancer. Question number four. Jackson, with his QC plan, wanted to see if cases were completed in a timely fashion. He looked at a lot of the deceased records from the central registry, which found missing cases. How did he get to this conclusion? Disease indices, radiation oncology logs, autopsies, or path reports? If you answered A, then you are correct. He gathered this from the death follow-back list from the state and the National Death Index. Make sure with quality that you are just learning about everything. Make sure you take your time on the exam, especially with the quality and reporting. And we're done with a lot of that. We're done with our quality. Thank the Lord. But just make sure that you are comfortable with the exam when you go in. Make sure you have enough room. Make sure that you have enough sleep before you take your exam. Make sure that you are prepared for the exam. If you're not prepared just yet to take the exam, please do not rush to take the exam before you are prepared to. You want to make sure that you're strong enough, that you're confident enough, that you can pass this exam. Don't let anyone pressure you into taking the exam when you're not ready to. And that is it for our lesson today. Make sure that you tune in next time. Next time we are going to be getting into our hemiopoietic cases. Stay tuned. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to your CTR Help Guide podcast. I hope you enjoyed these tips and that you utilize this in your everyday abstracts. Make sure to join the tribe, your CTR Help Guide, with your host, Crystal Santaria. Till next time.